All right, we're back, and time to do a little basketball. We'll get to the Mets and Mickey Callaway, but we got Game 3 tonight and a lot of question marks. So Jim Barnett has been with the Warriors a long time, obviously had a long NBA career. He's the analyst for CSN, and he handles the Warrior games out there, so he knows them as well as anybody. Jim, welcome. This is Mike Frances on WFN. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing very well today, and thanks for having me on your show.
My pleasure. Thank you. Tell me, give me the rundown. Who's playing? Who's not playing?
Well, I think it's more importantly is there are going to be a lot of people playing that you don't know, but who's not playing? Obviously, Kevin Durant will not be playing. I do not believe Klay Thompson. I don't believe the medical staff will let him play. He's not ready. He'd like to go, but the trouble is with the hamstring. I'm not sure he's ever had a bad hamstring injury before, but obviously he could do something to it, and he would never be able to play the rest of the series. So don't count on Klay Thompson.
Oh, really? And okay.
No, not at all. I would be very surprised, Mike, if he went out there tonight. I just don't think they always opt on the side of caution with the medical staff, particularly the Warriors medical staff right now. And I just don't think they're going to let him go out there because it's just too, a hamstring. And I've had several of them, of course, through the years. But you think you're okay, but you start running, and then all of a sudden you want to kick it in and go 100%, and that thing, it grabs you back there, and you get a little more of a tear, and then you're done. So I just can't see that. They had an optional shoot around today. It's an early game, of course. But all indications yesterday when I was at practice and talking with everybody else, I just don't think he's going to be available to play. And it's going to put a lot of pressure on the Warriors and the defense. DeMarcus Cousins is going to have to play a lot of minutes again, right, try to get something from him. It's going to be a very, very tough row to hoe tonight.
And a lot of pressure on Curry, and I don't know. I'm sure the Warriors spent some time on what to do against that box and one, because they didn't do a good job against it the other day when Thompson was off the floor, that's for sure.
They did not, and part of the reason was Thompson was off the floor. It was a double whammy for him. First of all, they were surprised by that.
Right.
They did miss some shots that were open there because, you know, you're playing a box zone like that. There were shots available that people even passed up, but they couldn't get anything going, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on bench guys who haven't seen a lot of action, you know, like Quinn Cook, Sean right. Livingston, Jarebko, maybe Jordan Bell tonight.
How healthy is Iguodala?
People talk about him, but he's okay. I think he's, you know, he was hurt before, but you saw him finish the game. It didn't bother that last three-point jump shot.
No, you know, he's got a lot of Robert Horry in him, as we all know. He does. He's a winner. But he's not the same defender right now at all with that leg, you can tell. I mean, he's clearly not, because he's, you know, he's just not able to be the defender that he usually is.
No, he's not. But I will have to say this, in all candor, he's 35 years old.
Right.
And I think that's more of the age than the leg right now. You know, that's a factor. I just know that when you get older, you can still, if you can score, you learn how to score.
Will they go to Bogut? Will they use Bogut more tonight?
I think they're going to have to. They definitely will have to use Bogut a little bit more. There'd be a rim protector.
And do you think will they give Livingston a lot more minutes, or will they rely more on Cook?
I think they're going to probably rely on Quinn Cook, and unless they can stop him and close him off and everything. He doesn't have the quickness and the speed and so forth. But Sean Livingston is a mid-range jump shooter at best,
yep.
Whereas Quinn Cook can knock down threes. So Quinn Cook's going to play a lot of minutes. It just hurts them defensively without both Klay Thompson and Kevon Looney are really good defenders.
Oh, Thompson's a great defender. Yeah, tremendous.
Yeah.
Looney's obviously your tremendous other guy who's without him that hurts a lot too. But Thompson especially, because you know he is underrated. People don't realize how good defensively he is.
Yes, well, the Warriors know it, and we all know it as broadcasters,
yep.
And everyone out here. But it's going to be very, very tough to win tonight. I'm not saying they're going to pack it in. But, you know, we're looking for Kevin Durant to come back in game four.
Jim, you think he will play game four?
I will have to know. I won't know that until I go there tonight and find out what he did yesterday
right.
And what he did today. And what he's going to do tomorrow.
Has he done anything, as far as you know? Has he been on the basketball floor?
He's been on the basketball floor, but he's not done any kind of contact drills whatsoever. No two-on-two, three-on-three, that kind of thing. And so been doing a little bit of running, I think, and I don't know how hard. And as I say, I will know more tonight and then tomorrow. But I would say right now, him playing in game four is 50-50 or 60-40 at best.
And what about Thompson?
Well, I'm not a doctor. I just know I've had those injuries, and I cannot believe it must be a very minor pull. And a pull, by the way, in a hamstring is a slight tear. There's a slight tear. I don't know. I haven't seen how much blood came down on his hamstring, the back of his thigh there, from his buttocks on down. Obviously not very much, because he's still, he's questionable. But I think if he doesn't go tonight, I think they'll give it a go on game four for Thompson, for sure, because they got nothing to lose. They've got to go. So they've got to, you've got one scorer in Stephen Curry, and the problem is he played 8 minutes of the fourth quarter with that box and one. He never got a shot. He never got a field goal attempt, Mike.
No, they didn't, and they didn't have enough guys on the floor who could make their own shots. That's why Cousins becomes a very integral guy for them, because he can do virtually a lot of things. He can obviously make a pass. He can take a shot, and he can also take the ball to the basket if he has to.
Yes, and he's going to have to do that tonight. You're going to see a whole different game from DeMarcus Cousins. There's going to be a lot on him tonight. I hope he's physically able to do that. He only played, in the first game?
8 minutes, 8-9 minutes, yeah. And then he upped it to 27 minutes in game two. I mean, yeah, he did a good job in game two. He really did.
He did a hell of a job, and he's a good passer, like you said. I believe he had 6 assists in that game. He had double-figure rebounds.
Always a good passer, yeah, absolutely.
He's a willing passer, but he's going to have to score tonight in order for them. You're not going to hold Toronto down to 85 points, I don't think. And the rest of these guys, I'm not sure they're capable of getting a 75 or 85 points. So that DeMarcus Cousins have to kick in a little bit. And they're going to need more offense from Draymond Green as well. I tell you, he's a master out there. But they're going to have to win it with their defense. They're going to have to be really good at the defensive end tonight.
You know, Green gets himself, and we're talking with Jim Bonnet, he gets himself good looks. He just is not a very capable finisher around the basket. He just he misses too many easy shots. He really does.
Well,
he gets himself a lot of good shots. He really does.
Yes, he does. And in transition, he's gotten a lot better going full speed and laying the ball up softly. So
yep.
I'm going to kind of gracefully, hopefully, disagree with you a little bit. I think now he missed an easy layup against Lowry the other night, but he's pretty good around the basket, particularly when he's on the run with the ball in his hands. He finishes very, very well, much better than he used to. He just has a real difficult time shooting perimeter shots.
Well, but he gets a lot of opportunities. He gave himself a lot of good looks. I mean, when you got those layups, you got to make them. And he missed some really easy looks. And he gets himself to the front of the rim very well. I mean, he really does.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's quick. He's quick with the ball, too, in transition. He really is. I mean,
he
gets himself to the front of the rim. He just, it's a little iffy when he gets there. I mean, that's not his greatest strength, obviously.
No. I mean, he was 2-for-9 in game one. He was 6-for-12 in game two, but he did miss a couple of easy ones. He should have been easy 8-for-12 probably.
What can they get out of Iguodala? Can he give them 26 minutes if he has to?
Oh yeah, he gave him 28 minutes the other night.
He looked a couple of times like he was on one leg. I wondered how healthy he really was.
Well, you can play with a little bit of pain, and you can play with you can't play with injury if you're totally injured and you cannot physically do something like that. And he's a gutsy player. He's a gamer. He's a finals player. He made 5 threes against Portland. I believe it might have been game three. He's capable because they're going to leave him open, just like they did at the end of the game. And
yep.
They're going to, play percentages like that. They're going to leave Draymond. Draymond's going to have to knock down two or three threes tonight. And DeMarcus Cousins as well. If they get lucky and hit a few threes like that and play really tough defense, it would be really remarkable to get a win. It would be absolutely astounding, and I think that would be pretty demoralizing for Toronto, and I'm not counting them out. This is a very gutsy team. And now the way they got to get Curry unleashed is they've got to defend, Mike, if they defend, rebound, and run and push the ball up the floor, then they can't be getting into a box and one. They're going to have defense scattered. But I will say that Toronto's doing a very good job of getting back. They're running three men back all the time, not going for the offense.
Yeah, their floor balance has been Toronto's defense and their floor balance and Van Vliet's defense has been very good, hasn't it? It's been really surprisingly good.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's gotten more minutes and he's been more effective than their starting backcourt.
No question. No question. You know? Absolutely.
Yeah, he bothers Curry a little bit.
He's made some shots, too. You know, he's a guy, Jim, you know this, you were a good player. He's very good at using his body to get separation and get himself a chance to get the ball up on the rim.
I'll tell you what, he made a drive in game two where people were hanging all over him, and he somehow got up to the rim and used the rim and muscled it up in, and he looked very, very good. Now, he's very underrated. And, of course, he was, you know, the last three games in the previous series when they beat Milwaukee went 14-17.
Oh, he was great. Yeah, he was the star. No question. He's been a difference maker for them. And how about Cook for you guys? Can you see them every day? Is Cook a guy who will be a willing? Now, in that game, he knocked down some big threes. Do you trust him? Is he a guy that you think is ready to take a much bigger role here tonight?
I trust him shooting, yes. And if he's open, He's not concerned at all. He's not nervous. He knows he can shoot, and that's what he does very well. It's just a matter of can they, you know, continue to get him open. The liability for Quinn is he's just not a very good defender. He works hard, but he just doesn't have the quick feet to stay with people. And you know, Van Vliet can you know, maneuver him around pretty well. So and you know, guarding somebody, if you have to get switched out on Norman Powell, who comes in, who's very, very good also, and he's capable of giving you, you know, all of a sudden 10 points in a quarter. He can go crazy on you. So the Warriors don't have electric scorers out there. You know, and they're, you know, Sean Livingston is limited as far as his shot. McKinney, if McKinney could get hot, knock down, they've got people that can knock down a three and everything. So they've got to manage the game. They've got to take care of their possessions, make sure they get shots, don't turn the ball over, play terrific defense, get into the open court so they get easier baskets.
And I mean, in game one, their transition defense was awful, obviously. And game two, their transition defense was vastly improved, and they did a great job. I thought where they saved the game was the last 5 minutes, second quarter, because they could have gotten blown out, and they got that game to five, and then, you know, they had their typical third quarter. But, I mean, that last 5 minutes of the second quarter was, I thought, huge for them in game two.
Yes, it inspired them to come out and play in the third quarter like they did and go on that run. In the third quarter alone, they were on an 18-0 run at one time, and it went back to the second quarter 20-0. But you see what happened in the last 4 minutes of quarter two. Was Stephen Curry.
He got crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I think he had maybe 4 points up to that point.
Right, and he got like 14 or something, right? Yeah.
He scored 12 points in the last 4 minutes.
Yep.
And that inspired them. They were only down by five at halftime, 59-54, if I remember. And so they're down five. Now that's workable. That inspired them. They came out. But I'll tell you what, they were good offensively in the third quarter, but they also turned the ball over numerous times in the third quarter. If I recall, they turned the ball over like five times in that. They got very sloppy, but their defense was so good, blocking shots, forcing turnovers. They forced Toronto into seven turnovers in that quarter, and that's what got them going.
What's the mood for you? What's the mood for the Warriors right now?
Well, they're always optimistic. They've been there before. It's opportunity. You have to think of it that way. It's just like I've said before. They can't be playing these games hoping and banking on Kevin Durant coming back. And so now you play with the hand you're dealt, and you go out there and you're an NBA player, and that's what it's called upon to do so. And Steve Kerr will have them ready to play. They're going to be confident. And we saw in the doggone Houston series where guys had not played at all in the first series. They hadn't played at all in four games against Houston. And all of a sudden, they had to play in game five, game six, and they came through with 30, 33, 35 points off the bench and surprised everybody. So maybe Jordan Bell. You're going to see Jordan Bell in there a little bit. Jarebko may play some minutes and knock down two or three threes. But Jordan Bell can block shots, and he can spell DeMarcus Cousins in there as well. But I think you're going to see a little bit more of Bogut, like you intimated.
Well, listen, we're looking forward to it. Thanks for the information. Enjoy tonight. It should be very interesting. It's turned into a very different but a very interesting series.
Very, very interesting for a lot of reasons, Mike. And it'll be fun being in Oracle Arena tonight.
Well, thank you. Appreciate your time, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Bye-bye. Jim Barnett again now. So he does not think, and he's around the team every day, he does not think that they will play Thompson tonight. Now, our earlier reports were that Thompson would try to play tonight. He doesn't think Thompson will play tonight. And he was more hopeful for Durant in Game 4. Who knows? Now, you got to remember, he's a warrior. You know, the guys who do the games for the team are always a little, you know, they're homers. You know they're homers. I mean, that's why, you know, they don't say anything bad about their own players. Like, Green's a great finisher, which we know he's not. But listen, Green gives you great effort. He just doesn't, you know, he's just a bit of a bricklayer around the rim. But the point is, they'll need him to knock down an open three, which he can do. They'll need Iguodala to knock down an open three. They'll have to use Livingston and Cook both. You know, Livingston's the in-between shooter. Cook can make a three. They got to use basically everybody. Now, the thing will be interesting to see what defense they use, whether they go back to the box in one if there's no Thompson, because they don't really have another primary scorer. Cousins has to become a very different player now. First of all, they have to play a completely different game. This is not Golden State bomb it up from all different angles. This is now use Cousins and Curry in a lot of two-man, because of their passing ability and their scoring ability and their ability to get to the foul line. Cousins, Curry and Cousins can get to the foul line between them a ton. And if they're going to be the two primary offensive guys, if Thompson doesn't play, if I'm Kerr, I'm going to say, guys, see this number? I want 25 foul shots from Curry and Cousins tonight. And you can get that from those two guys, because Cousins is great at drawing fouls. He can pass. He's a willing passer as a big man. He can score inside and out. Cousins has ability. Never said he didn't. He can be a divisive force, but right now he's the man. He's not a divisive force when he's the man. And he's got to be the man right now, along with Curry. Especially if Thompson doesn't play. We'll wait the game time to see if he does. We got one report that he'll play tonight. Now you got the guy who does the game, says he doesn't think Thompson will play tonight. That would change things markedly and give Toronto a very, very big chance tonight. Makes it very interesting. Back after this.